They often looked, for example, at local or state rather than national politics as their main focus when they were engaged in the political system. Yet we can trace the unfolding of sectional tensions that contributed to a situation where war could come in 1861. And in this lecture, we'll first look at the ways in which the North and South developed along different paths in the four decades before the conflict erupted. Then we'll see how the issue of territorial expansion into the federal lands in the West proved especially poisonous. And finally, we will look very briefly at some of the mileposts along the road to sectional disruption. There's been a great deal of debate among historians about whether the North and South had developed by the midpoint of the 19th century into societies that were different from one another. Some scholars have argued that they had become essentially two different civilizations, divided across a fault line delineated by the institution of slavery. Other scholars point to a common language, a common history, most obviously the struggle for independence in the late 18th century, and other shared characteristics. And these scholars insist that differences were minor compared to commonalities between Northerners and Southerners. I believe much of this debate misses a major point, and that is that most Americans, in my view, by the mid-1850s at the latest, believed that there were major differences between Northerners and Southerners, white Northerners and white Southerners. Northerners looked south and saw people made different by slavery. Many white Southerners, I would say most in turn, considered Northerners an almost alien people, bent on interfering with Southern society. The key thing to understand is that it doesn't matter whether there were really major differences. If the people thought there were and acted accordingly, that is the most important thing. And I believe that was the case. People looked north if they were in the South and saw a people they believed was different, and the same thing happened in the other direction. It's always risky to generalize about large groups of people, whether in the United States or anywhere else. But I think it is possible to make some generalizations about the two sections. All these generalizations could be qualified. There are always exceptions to everything that I'm going to say, but let's plow ahead fearlessly and make some generalizations about each side, starting with the North. The North was increasing far more rapidly in population during the antebellum decades than was the South. There was more immigration, by far. It was a far more urban area, although certainly not an urban area by our modern standards. It was far more developed commercially and industrially than the South was. There was also a very strong agricultural sector in the North. 40% or more of the entire labor force in the North was engaged in agriculture. But it was far more urban, far more commercial, far more industrial than the South. And if we had to pick out the single dominant element of the northern population, it would be what we would probably call yeoman farmers, independent farmers who worked their own land, relatively small parcels of land. The North had a strong strain of Yankee Protestantism that urged citizens to be thrifty and to work hard and to avoid alcohol or excess of any kind. Now, again, not all Northerners fit into this pattern. There were millions of Catholics in the North. Many Irish Catholics, German Catholics in cities and elsewhere. There were many non-Catholics who lived especially in the southern regions of the North, what was called the Little Egypt region of the Midwest down along the Ohio River, who did not subscribe to this notion of Yankee Protestantism. But among the political and economic leaders of the North, Yankee Protestantism was very strong. And this strain of Protestantism helped fuel economic expansion and pointed the way toward an emerging capitalist, industrial, and commercial giant. The North also embraced reform movements. Again, these were supported in a major way by this strain of Yankee Protestantism, this Yankee Protestant ethic. Temperance was a major reform movement in the North. Public education, and most important, abolitionism. What historians call the free labor ideology had taken strong hold in the North by the mid-1850s.